Whether you're screaming from the stands or the sofa, Virgin Bet has even more for you to shout about this season. Because we're giving you a totally free bet builder on a selected football match every week this season. So get ready to make some noise. Join us and claim your bet builder free bet every week. Virgin Bet, a good bet. Use Bet Builder free bet on selected match by kickoff. Min odds evens. Max one free bet, £1 to £20. Except via pop-up. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Bet responsibly. Gamblerware.org.
I think that's a good comparison. Matthews, McDavid, and Crosby, Ovechkin. And there's always two, right?
Batman and Robin.
That's right. John and
John
Tim.
John and Tim. Oh my gosh, are we best friends? Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. Thanks for joining us here. You know when you just don't feel great, Tim? It's just one of those mornings. You wake up with just high aspirations and things gonna take on the world, and it just everything goes to hell after that. So I think you and I feel like that today. I don't know why. We jump on this call, and usually it's a great feeling to see your face, but I think both of us are a little down. Why is that?
Speak for yourself. I'm having a great day. I'm getting a lot done. I woke up early. I already worked out today. I did some reading. I did some work. I had a nice lunch. It's been great. So I'm doing fine.
What's your workout entail? Walk people through what Tim Wurzburger does at the gym.
I won't do that, but...
Why not?
No one wants to hear that. Today was lighter because I basically didn't work out through the whole holiday. So kettlebell stuff. Body weight stuff, that sort of thing. But I'll get back into the heavy stuff next week.
No one wants to hear that, but this is exactly what I did. Let me walk you through it.
Okay.
Oh, you here look great. You look spelt. I'll just say you look really, really solid. You look like a brick poop house. You know what I mean? I did get some comments saying I've been loose with the... I swore at the GLI, apparently. Not good.
Yeah.
I get fired up when I'm talking about the Red Wings. I just can't help myself. And another team I get fired up talking about is the New York Rangers. Should we jump into the show or do you want to continue this little banter we got going back and forth?
Well, I was just going to say it's great to record in person. We're always more fired up when we do that. And sometimes a few swear words are going to slip through. It's no big deal. But what's going on with the Rangers?
Did you see the game last night with the New York Rangers?
I saw that they lost.
By any chance. They go up 3-0, Tim. On the Dallas Stars. They have the game in a chokehold. This is all in the first period. And then they systematically go ahead, turnovers, shoot themselves in the foot, bad defensive play. Jonathan Quick played great. Even though he gave up 5 goals to the Dallas Stars, he played fantastic. Dallas Stars threw, I think, 39, 40 some shots on net. It was just a systematic performance by the Dallas Stars, and it was just basically, if you want to know how to lose a game, you watch that game and you just watch the New York Rangers. It was ugly. Turnovers, selfish play, not filling in, not backtracking, not doing anything at all. It was an ugly, ugly, ugly display from the New York Rangers, to the point where I think the fans were chanting "Fire Laviolette" by the end of the game, because they were in New York. It was a bad performance for the New York Rangers. And they've been on a tailspin for the last 2 months. And what's the answer? What are the insiders saying here, Tim, is the answer for the New York Rangers to right the ship?
No idea. You've already made the big move. So do you kind of go after the core even more than you already have by moving Trouba? Firing Laviolette seems like the obvious next step here, but it just doesn't seem like this team has... There's something off about this group, and it doesn't really seem like a solvable problem, at least not this year.
And Chris Drury is doing what he can to buck the trend, to stem the tide, to try to revert back to the team that they were at the beginning of the season when they were a Stanley Cup contender, everybody's trendy pick. This is the team. Last year, we had a good run. We're going to take the next step. He buys out, or not buys out Jacob Trouba, but practically does. He throws him on waivers, the threat of the waivers. He ends up trading him because Jacob Trouba does not want to be put on waivers and go play somewhere where he hasn't approved. So he gets traded to the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. He did the same thing to Barclay Goodrow a few years ago. He trades Kaapo Kakko, trying to shake up the roster. Nothing's worked. Nothing has worked at all. So what is Chris Drury trying to do now? He's trying to fleece another GM, and he's trying to pull a fast one. Per reports from Josh Yo, the New York Rangers offered Mika Zibanejad to the Vancouver Canucks for friend of the show, JT Miller, straight up. So this is two guys who make a lot of money. JT Miller, I want to say, does he make 11?
He makes
a lot of money. And I know Mika Zibanejad makes a lot of money, much of which is just way, way, way too much for what he outputs now. Zibanejad makes, I think, close to 8.5. JT Miller probably in the same ballpark.
Yeah, Miller makes 8.
Very, very comparable type salaries. So Chris Drury said, hey, JT Miller, he's ruffling feathers over in Vancouver, not getting along with your superstar, Elias Pettersson. Mika Zibanejad, not really working so well right now with the New York Rangers. Let's just swap coasts. Let's just swap superstars. Can we do that? And the Vancouver Canucks flatly laughed in his face and said, not a chance whatsoever. What are we doing here? Have you seen Mika Zibanejad play? The guy on a night-to-night basis, Tim, looks lost. He's just not engaged. And we've gone over this many, many times. But if you're Chris Drury, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, because the only reason I'm bringing this up, because this is a laughable trade, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, all of hockey Twitter and Instagram yesterday, last night, was all over this. It's like, it's a silly trade, and it kind of, I don't really know the ins and outs of relationships between GMs, but like anyone that's ever done fantasy or anything similar to that, if you offer like a terrible trade in bad faith, you stop taking that person seriously. And I feel like that has to operate at some level with the GM. We're like, dude, I don't know if I'm picking up the phone next time the Rangers call. If that's what they're trying to think is fair and trying to fleece us, we know what Mika Zibanejad has done this year. We know he's been a good point producer in the past. He's been floating. Like Bucci said about Malkin, like he's turning. He's not stopping and starting. He's just coasting in his turns, turning the puck over. He's not producing. He's just one of the biggest disappointments in the entire league this year. And to think that you can go get JT Miller straight up is a really bizarre move. So if the report is true, yeah, that's a laughable one.
Yeah, this team is just, I think there's no saving this team. I really don't. With the amount of money that they spend, I think they're top 10 in the league in salary, maybe even top 5. They have so many holes. So many holes that I think are coming to the surface with Igor Shesterkin out. That guy covered up a lot of mistakes that the Rangers made, and he made them look really good on a night-to-night basis. And now that he's out, you got Jonathan Quick and you got Louis Domingue coming in from the AHL, the Hartford Wolfpack. Those guys are good, but they're not Igor Shesterkin.
And Shesterkin wasn't even great this year either. He's been terrible.
Terrible for his standards. He's been subpar, but he is one of the best goaltenders in the world, not named Connor Hellebuck. So it's a bad team. The defense looked really, really junky. The forwards, aside from a few guys here and there, they look really bad, and it's not going to get easier for them. This team is in a tailspin. They will, like Tim, if you look at the standings today, they could potentially be in like a top 5 pick come the end of the season. And this is the team not 2 months ago that people were saying, oh, you know, maybe this is their year. But they are another bad week away from being in the bottom of the standings with the Chicago Blackhawks. They're sitting at 38 points. Blackhawks have 28. I know it's only 5 games. It's a lot. It's a lot of wins and losses. But the way they're trending, boy, oh boy, it is not looking good for the New York Rangers.
And points-wise, they're only 4 points out of the second wild card spot because it's such a tight race in the East, but there's like 9 teams in that space. And you have Pittsburgh playing well, Columbus playing well, Ottawa playing well, Montreal playing well. At what point, and I'm not saying we're there yet, but at what point do the Rangers look to be sellers? Because like they could win 2 games in a row and all of a sudden they're you know, within a spot or two. And so it's really, really tight, and they're not ready to call it quits. Obviously, they have too much talent but at what point do you start exploring selling and trying to get a high draft pick? It's a weird thing that you're in this spot.
I think he's already done that. I think he has been exploring, hence the Mika Zibanejad trying to offload him. This team is not a Stanley Cup team. I think that's proven. But there are good pieces here. Like, this is this is not a complete rebuild. This is not a complete price reset. You got Panarin. You got Trocheck. You got Lafreniere. I like those guys. I like the young guys. Will Cooley. I think he's a really good player. You got some good pieces on the back end, and you have Shesterkin. You have a lot of valuable assets. You just have to unload some of these just bad contracts and players who have just fallen off for no reason. Zibanejad, you got to get rid of him. Kreider, you have to get rid of him. Those two right there. Boom, boom. If you lose those two contracts, which is $15 million, and bring in a solid replacement, which is hard to find, you're right back into contention. So it's not out of the realm that they can make this work. If you do go get a JT Miller, who has a full no-move clause, but per reports said the only team that he will go play for is the New York Rangers. He loved playing there. He loves the bright lights. So he wants to go back to the Rangers. If you can somehow make that work and package in one of those two contracts, and Zibanejad and Kreider, you do it. Even if you have to package it up with a first-round contract, that's a move you have to make if you're Chris Drury. But I don't think you sell him. But I do think Drury has been on the phones calling GMs because he knows his team sucks. He knows his team is going nowhere. And yeah, they're 4 points out. But can you honestly look yourself in the mirror and say this team is a playoff team, let alone a Stanley Cup contender?
No. But just the fact that they're statistically that close, and you've always kind of harped on GMs that don't acknowledge the fact that they're not going to win a cup this year. And so if you're not going to, then go all in the other way and don't float in the middle. It's a hard thing because it's a business too. It has to impact like ticket sales and merchandise and all those things that impact revenue as much as just about anything else. So they have to take that into account too. But yeah, I think we're going to see this team continue to struggle, and it'd be interesting to see which pieces they move at the deadline.
And do you think, and let's just stay on this team, but switching players a little bit, switching gears, Matt Rempe. Currently, I believe he's on the roster.
He just got called back up.
He's been up and down like a yo-yo all season long. He has done relatively not much in the AHL. He's playing good minutes, but not really putting up huge stats in the NHL. He's played 5 games. He's been kicked out. He's been suspended. He's fought a little bit. 0 points. 24 PIMs. Where does he fit? Can we finally... And listen, this is not coming from me. But are we ready to turn the page on a Matt Rempe?
Yeah, I'll say it. He doesn't belong in the NHL. I like the kid. He's got a great story. What he did last year was a lot of fun. But when you look at he's been ejected more times than he scored a point. Like he's been ejected more times than he averages time on the ice. It's just, he doesn't belong in the NHL. It's a really hard thing. It's not a knock on him. It's a very hard job to do, especially in the league that doesn't have a lot of reasons to keep a Rempe on the roster. And the guys that do are few and far between, and all of them can play. And so, yeah, it's a hard thing to say. I like the kid. I'm rooting for him. I hope he gets better. But right now, it's pretty clear that he doesn't belong in this league.
Yeah, it's tough for me to really critique him because this kid's me in a way. Like I was 6'8", 265, fighter, not really fleet of foot. This kid skates around a little bit. I think what hurts him is the era we play in.
Yeah.
I don't think he fits in with this era. If he was, you know, born 25 years ago, he's getting a pretty good, you know, NHL contract. It's just unfortunate that this is the era we play in. And I think he crosses the line too much.
He does.
And as a fourth line guy who gets limited minutes, the last thing you need to do or can do is hurt your team and put them on the defensive, put them on the PK. A coach will 100% sit you down if you consistently go out there and take penalties at inopportune times. And we've seen him take runs, and he's okay at that. The guy's a good hitting player, but he does cross that line, and he does take penalties when it's a tie game in the third period. And all you need to do is just go out there and just, you know, keep the peace. So he hasn't learned to toe that line, crosses it way too much. And you can't have that as a fourth line guy.
I think the era thing is a good point because it's not that long ago that he would have been a prized possession. Now, if we put him in your situation, imagine he was a rookie in 2009 and he gets to learn from Bugard and he gets to like be in that era at that place in time. He'd be a household name thriving, but he's just... It's hard enough for like the Deloriers and Reeves and those guys to stick around in this league. And they've been around forever and they can play a little bit. Rempe's just not in that category right now.
Yeah, and you look at a Delorier, he put up points in juniors. And you look at a Matthew Olivier, the guy put up 50, 60 points in juniors. You look at all these tough guys now. Yeah. Like these guys are good hockey players who are just tough. Rempe did not put up those kinds of points in juniors and, you know, his minor league. So it's tough. It's unfortunate. And the fact that he plays in New York, the limelight's on him, the spotlight is on him, the way he came into the league with just such a bang. Everybody was talking about him. The NHL sends him to the stinking prospects media day, for Pete's sake, in New Jersey with all the young prospects. That doesn't help. That just puts the eyes on him, and there's so much pressure. And then you come out, and you can't live up to the expectations at that point. Like, the kid got 2 points. Like, he's a fighter. There's no way you're going to be able to exceed expectations or live up to them when your expectations are a fight every 3 games and playing on the ice for 5 minutes a game. Like, that's it. So he was bound to fail.
Well, the irony is, too, like, if he had just done that one thing, like play the winter, was it the Winter Classic he made his debut and fought DeLaurier?
Matt Martin.
Yeah. So, like, if he had just done that and then never played in the NHL again, he is like a little bit of like a cult leader in New York, doesn't have to buy a beer again type of thing. People love that story. He's like an emergency backup goalie. That, like, that's all, he's always going to have that for the rest of his life. And it's such a cool thing. But he stuck around a little bit longer than that. And I don't want to keep knocking on the guy. I hope he turns it around. I hope he develops into an NHL player, but he's not there yet.
Yeah. And then when do we get George Laroque on the show?
Yeah. George, what happened?
Nana boo boo. Stick your head in doo doo. I was right. You were wrong. Yeah, it's unfortunate. I think there was too much hype. There was way too much hype for this kid. He's a good player for what he is, but he just needs some seasoning. I think he was thrust into a position where he couldn't succeed. All right, moving on. You know, I talk about teams.
What makes a good bet? At Virgin Bet, we think it's a simple bet, a responsible bet, a last-minute winner when you're down to 10 men kind of bet, with generous offers. A bet that puts sport first. Sound like your kind of bet? Then you're ready to get started. Sign up and get £20 in free bets when you bet £10 on sports. Virgin Bet, a good bet. New members, min bet settled in first 14 days, 1.5 minimum odds. Free bets valid 7 days on sports. T's and C's and exclusions apply. Bet responsibly. 18 plus, gamblerware.org.
I don't talk about certain teams. I get in trouble for talking about teams too much. And so I pull back the reins. And then I get in trouble for not talking about them at all. I'm talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs. There wasn't a show last year that I don't think I mentioned the Toronto Maple Leafs. And it wasn't good. And, you know, I'll be the first to say I'm biased. I try to be unbiased as a, you know, a hockey personality, a talking head. I don't like the Toronto Maple Leafs. I grew up in St. Catharines, Ontario. My good friends were all Maple Leafs fans. I was a Boston Bruins fan. We would battle each other consistently through the 80s and 90s and the 2000s. It was a nice rivalry. I went into the league. I played for the Buffalo Sabres. We fought Toronto all the time. I played for all these other teams. I battled with the Maple Leafs all the time. I don't like the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's in my blood. I just don't. So that spills over into my podcast. When I talk about these teams, in my core, I cannot be a fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And it just so happens that just meshes nicely with the players that they have on their team, who are soft and millennials and just don't take accountability. Everything I hate in this world is just all encompassed in the Toronto Maple Leafs and their players and their ideology and just their culture. It's just like soft and just so not who I am. Well, I got called out in our latest YouTube video. Someone, I think it's Robert Daly. He goes, you don't talk about the Leafs. And I love Robert for saying this. Good for him. He's like, you don't talk about the Leafs anymore because you're doing good. What's going on? And I said, you know what? You're right. We should talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I shouldn't just pick my points to talk about teams when they're down, and I kick them when they're down. That's not right. So we're going to give them some love. The Toronto Maple Leafs currently 27-13-2, Tim, in the very dog poo Atlantic's division. So they're the king. They're on the top of the heap, but they are playing very good hockey. They're third in the league. They've won 6 of their last 7. Why is this team doing so good? Didn't really do a major overhaul this offseason. They brought in, you know, OEL. You re-signed Chris Tanev. You bring in Max, you re-sign Max Domi. So it's the same cast of characters for the most part. The big four up front, that was going to be the big change. Remember, we're gonna make a move. We're going to shuffle the deck. We can't keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. Yes, we won a playoff round a couple years ago. Not good enough. Is it Marner? Is it Nylander? Is it Tavares? Is it Matthews? Maybe we slide O'Reilly in there, who's on a great contract. We got to switch it up. No, we're not doing any of that. Just kidding. We're not doing any of that. The big change with the Leafs was Craig Berube. Getting rid of Sheldon Keefe, bringing in a new voice, a very stern voice, a proven winner. Craig Berube won a Stanley Cup with the St. Louis Blues a few years back. This guy is a no-nonsense coach. Prides himself on accountability, playing defense. And it's working, Tim. It's working for the Toronto Maple Leafs. They started off a little slow. They've had some injuries to overcome. Austin Matthews out of lineup. Some injuries on the back end. This team threw it all. Steady as she goes. And they're not the same team, Tim, that they were last year, 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, or 4 years ago. Who just run and gun. Willy-nilly. Let's win a game 7-6. Let's go. When you look at their schedule, when you look at their box scores, they're winning games 3-1, 3-2, 4-2, 5-2, maybe with an empty netter. They're not giving up many goals. Very few games where they give up more than three, maybe four, they give up an empty netter. This is a completely different team than that was ice last year. And it's all stemming from one, Craig Berube, and two, the guys between the posts. A weakness that this team has just been bleeding terrible goals year on year on year. Matt Murray, Jack Campbell, Samsonov last year could not find a consistent goaltender to hold down the reins. Not steal games, Tim. Just don't lose us games. And for the last 5, 6, 7 years, the goalies they have put in have lost them games in the playoffs in particular. Well, who do you go out and get? You get the backup goalie for the Stanley Cup winning Florida Panthers, Anthony Stolarz. He's playing lights up. He gets hurt. Joseph Woll steps in. Young kid. He's playing fantastic hockey. So Craig Berube and those two goaltenders, I think, are the... Not think, Tim. I know that those are the reasons why they're winning and in first place in the Atlantic. And they're a different team this year. A team to be reckoned with. What are your thoughts on the Toronto Maple Leafs, Tim?
I have two thoughts. I mean, first is, and I said this, you know, before the holidays, one of the byproducts of the Rangers stinking so much and having all these big storylines that the Maple Leafs had kind of gone unnoticed, at least on this show. So yep. I'm glad that we're talking about them. My first question is, I feel like there have been times in the past 3-4 years where we said, this is a different Leafs team than last year. Whether it was the goaltending, whether it was the guys up front, the Bertuzzi's or Ryan O'Reilly's, the toughness, the greediness that they didn't have before, and then nothing ever changed. Do you feel like this is even more different than past years? Do you feel like this really could be a team that wins a few series, or do you feel like it's the same group in that sense?
It's so difficult to say because, yes, fool me once, shame on you. I feel like they fooled us how many times? It's just over and over and over again with this team. Different faces, same results. But I do feel like this is a little bit different scenario than years past, and it's based on the goaltenders and it's based on the coach. I feel like they've been given a free ride a lot of the time, and the players have just been let to do what they want. You know, they're running the insane asylum. And you bring in Craig Berube, and he's like, no, this is my house. I'm the boss here. It's my rules. Either you play by them or you sit. So I don't know. I really don't know. I'm going to get egg on my face because they're going to go and make the playoffs and lose in the first round. I'm going to, you did it to me again. Because it's the same players. Nothing has really changed. It's just the system and the coaches.
Well, I think one of the things that has changed is that the East is wide open this year. There's not a lot of teams. If you look in their division, you have Florida kind of behind them and Boston behind them. I feel like Toronto's better than both of those teams. I'd probably still take Florida in a 7-game series, but they're not going to play Florida in the first round. Then you look at like the wild card, maybe Tampa would be a pretty tough matchup. But beyond that, like whoever sneaks into that second wild card spot, you got to think Toronto is going to have an easy time with, whether it's Columbus or Pittsburgh, Ottawa, Montreal. So like they're pretty well set up to win a couple of rounds. And I feel like there's not one team that is, you know, circling your calendar that's just head and heels above the rest. I think the one could be Florida just because of the Sam Bennett's of the world and those guys that are just so well built, but they are not the same team as last year either when you look at their personnel. So I feel like this is kind of this, the opportunity is there, unless I could be wrong.
It's going to be the Tampa Bay Lightning. That's who they're going to play in the first round.
And they're that is usually lose how again. It happens.
Yeah, and they're going to lose them. But it's, you know, we got to give them some respect. And I do think the signings this offseason were very good. Brad Treveeling, it was put, and like we said this before, an unenviable position. You have this just grouping of superstars, and that's what they are. And everybody's clamoring, myself included. Find a way to get rid of John Tavares. Find a way to trade this guy to free up some cap space so we can make our team better. Don't look now. John Tavares has just scored 20 goals for the millionth time in his career. The guy is as reliable as a clock. He is always on. He's got 42 points in 41 games. He's terrific in the center dot. He doesn't cause a fuss at all. He barely speaks. I think they put like a shock collar on his throat, like a dog. So he can't even talk. He is just the quietest guy. You strip him of the C. You demean him. Belittle him, have this big press conference where he hands the jersey to Austin Matthews, like, oh, okay, take my position. I'm not good anymore. And what does he do? He goes out and he kills it for you. He is an awesome, awesome hockey player. So what are you going to get better for him with $11.5 million? So I need you to let's get rid of Mitch Marner. He's not going to re-sign. We need to, you know, free up some cap space. Well, what is Mitch Marner doing this year? 58 points in 42 games. Austin Matthews goes down and this guy carries the team. He's playing phenomenal. Willie Nylander, they re-up him. Well, it's going to be a terrible contract. He's just going to coast now. No. The guy's got a point per game. He's playing fantastic. Secondary minutes to the top line. Austin Matthews doing what he does. He's scoring goals even though he's been injured. He's a superstar. It's just this team is unflappable. They're playing fantastic hockey. They could use, and this has been thrown around by pundits, you know, some depth at center. We'll see. It's funny the name's being kicked around because Treveeling doesn't want to sign a rental player. Ryan O'Reilly, potentially. You got Strom and Anaheim, maybe kicking the tires on those guys. Imagine those guys coming in being third line center, second line center. It's scary. But when you look at this roster, and like you said, when you look at the East, there's a pathway for these guys to make Stanley Cup. There really is. Carolina is definitely not as strong as they have been in the years past, and the Devils are. They're okay. Capitals, they're good. It's in my eyes, it's the Leafs or the Panthers right now. It really is. Like if I were to pick two teams that I think would come out of the East, it would be the Leafs or the Panthers. Today, things change. But so today, those two teams.
The last thing on that I want to ask about is one of the bigger storylines going into the season was going to be the Marner renewal. Will he sign? Will he walk for nothing? Can they afford him even? You also have Tavares expiring too. Obviously Marner's the long-term priority, but there's been very quiet. I haven't heard many reports or rumors about that. I haven't seen anyone really panicking from the Leafland or the Steve Dangles of the world. Is that a good thing or a bad thing that it's been pretty quiet on that front?
It's a great thing. I think they're keeping their business in-house. They're not airing their laundry and they shouldn't. We've seen how that works, Boston Bruins. It's not a good thing when you air your dirty laundry and you're going back and forth in the press. And that's hard to do in Toronto, but it's a good thing. I think what happens here is you let this season play out. You see how it goes. And if it goes great, it will. Mitch Marner will get 120, 130 points. He's on pace for that. He's a superstar, Tim. Yep. You have to take that risk. The money is there to re-sign him. It's there. You're freeing up over $30 million this offseason. There's lots of money to go around. But if you're the Leafs and you lose again in the first or second round, can you honestly re-sign a Mitch Marner? I think you have to on the other side of the page. If you're Mitch Marner, you will be 28 years old in your prime. You can play anywhere you want. Do you want to tie yourself to the Toronto Maple Leafs knowing that three players will be taking up almost 50% of the cap? Because he will want $13 million like Austin Matthews. Nylander makes $11 million. That's $30 million that these three guys will make. Maybe not 50%, but close to it. Is that something you want to go move forward with? I don't know if that's a winning team.
I think he does. I think both team and player want that. I think they've proven that, and every time they speak, they kind of share that. So I think that's what happens. And yeah. I'm thinking more and more that he signed before the season's done, and this gets done, you know, in the next 2 months.
You want to know what's crazy?
Yes.
I think Tavares comes back too.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's I really number? Do. Like, I think five? He signs a team friendly $5-6 million deal. I think Marner signs a $13 million deal, and everybody stays there. That's truly what I think will happen. Because when you look at their stats individually, they're lights out. What better player can you bring in than John Tavares if he's taken 5 or 6? There's no one out there. Although Ryan O'Reilly does make 5.5. I'll just throw that out there too. So he would be fun to have back. But that's already been tried. It didn't happen. But the Toronto Maple Leafs,
he wants to play there. He's talked about that. So
I know. It's an interesting situation. They just get you every time, don't they? They get you every time. Tana has been great. OEL has been okay. Riley's always good. They don't have that star defenseman that I think they desperately need, but they don't grow those guys on trees. Like Lane Hudson. Oof. They don't grow those guys on trees. All right, moving on. Let's talk about another team that just was struggling to start the season. A team that I said, quote unquote, was a lottery team. What's happened, Tim, since I've said those comments?
Yeah, a lot has happened. And I remember that episode, maybe a third episode of the season. At that point, they were 0-4. They had lost all those games by a whole bunch. It was the goaltending, really. Georgiev, however you say it. They started the season 0-4. Then they kind of go 500 a bunch. They're 14-13 at one point in early November. And you're kind of like, man, this team is not who I thought they were. I thought they were a better team than this. And then all of a sudden, you look to now, they're 25-15-1. They've won a whole bunch of games in a row. They've won, 7 out of their last 9. They're rolling right now. The biggest reason for that, I would say there's kind of two things. First is obviously when you have 3 players in the top 10 in scoring, 2 of them are in the top 3, McKinnon first, Rantanen third, and then McCarr is 9th or 10th. Obviously, when you have 3 players in the top 10 scoring, that's really, really good. You're going to score a lot of goals. That's tremendously important. But there's a part of this that is kind of, I think, going relatively unnoticed that I think is really cool. Mackenzie Blackwood. This is the goalie they traded for back in December 9th, and it was kind of an unremarkable trade. They traded away Georgiev, Giovanni Smith, was kind of going a small package of players and picks going in both ways from San Jose to Colorado. And we sort of said maybe Blackwood will give him a little bit more than Georgiev was doing because clearly he wasn't playing well. But his numbers weren't like outstanding either. And now he's got a chance to win playing in front of a better team. Blackwood now is 7-1-1 to start this time with the Avalanche since that trade. His first start, I think, was on the 12th of December. Georgiev was playing horribly. The Avs were scoring a bunch of goals, but he was letting in even more. And you look at like his game log and the goals allowed that leading up to that trade that they made, 4-3-4-1, 3-4-1, 2-2-4, it just goes on and on. He's letting in 3.5 goals a game. Blackwood, in that 9 games since they made the trade, has not allowed more than 2 goals against in any of them. He's just totally turned this team around and given them a fighting chance. And like you said, with the Leafs, I don't need you to win a game when we have this offense. We have these elite players up front. I just need you to not lose it. And that's what he's given them so far. So do I expect him to continue this for the rest of the season? Of course not. He's going to have some stinkers. He's going to have some rough stretches. He's not an elite 1A goalie, but he's given them something they haven't had since they won the cup. And that's a chance to win the game every single night. And now during that time, the Avalanche have climbed the standings from being close to a basement dweller. They are now in the first, not second, wildcard spot. They have the same amount of points as the Stars. And the Stars have the tiebreaker. So they're third in the Central, and the Avalanche are in the wild card. But they're right there with the best teams in the Central right now. So it kind of comes down to like, we know what the star players are going to do. McKinnon is going to do his thing. Rantanen is looking lights out. He's going to want a big pay raise. McCarr is just it's him and no one else at the defensive end. But if Blackwood continues, I think you have to consider them a top cup contender. And I hope this plays out that way.
Well, again, we talk about how bad the East is, and how bad is a relative term, but the West is stacked. In particular, the Central Division, Tim, and to call them a cup contender when they're playing great. What are they? top whatever in the league. They aren't the best team in their division. They're not the second best, the third best. They're the fourth best team in their division. So it's tough to say, yeah, you know what? We're a cup contender now. We've been on a good run. It's just so strong. The Jets, the Wild, the Stars, they're incredible teams. And they're playing great. And they're only getting better. So I'm not ready to anoint them. But yeah, the Mackenzie Blackwood deal. What a fantastic trade. Like, what an absolute fleecing of Mike Greer and the San Jose Sharks. And as you're saying this, I'm like, yeah, Blackwood's playing lights out. His goals against, save percentage are out of this world, like world-class stats. What happened to Georgiev? And you just think of this guy's career trajectory and path. He had one of the best gigs in hockey, backing up Igor Shesterkin. You know you're going to get maybe 20 to 30 starts a year. Shesterkin's going to get 50 to 60. So you don't have much work. You have a good team in front of you. You're living in New York City. You make good money. He was making 2.4. And yes, I know we do the, you know, New York, you don't make much. You probably only bring it home this much and that much. I get it. But you start to feel pretty good about yourself. Like, I could be a goalie. I'm just as good as Shesterkin. Why? I want to be a starter. Gets traded. Signs in Colorado. His stats, once he left New York, terrible. He will not be in the league next year. That's how bad he has been. And he's 28 years old. And he could have maybe not rode the backup role in New York for a long time, but boy, your pride gets the best of you. You think you're better than you are. You force your way out. You go to the Avalanche, your Stanley Cup contending team. They're like, yeah, we got our next goaltender. Bye-bye, Darcy Kuemper. We don't need you anymore. We got Georgiev. No. Goals against above 3.5. Just save percentage below 9. He's been a terrible goaltender. And it's not because he's like getting scored on grade A opportunities. Like you said, the guy gives up meatballs. He's not reliable. He'll be out of the league next year. It's unfortunate because he could have rode that backup role. Oh, so nice. Make $1-2 million a year. This place solid. This is a great living. But now he wants to be the starter. Well, this is what you get. But good for Mackenzie Blackwood. Good for the Avalanche. They're a good team. What are you going to do? They're a solid team.
Yeah, and I understand how tough the Central is and the West in general. But and yes, right now they are the fourth best team. But when you look at like since this trade and in the last 4 weeks or so, they're tied with the Oilers. I just pulled up the stats since December 7th. They have an .821 winning percentage during that time. That's better than everyone else in their division. So like, yeah, they've got a tough battle, but this is the team that's done it before. So I really like their chances, and I'm really psyched that I think them going on a run is just going to be a lot of fun to watch when McKinnon and McCarr is just lethal. And I hope Blackwood continues doing what he's doing.
Yeah, I don't know much about their depth. I haven't watched too much of the Avalanche throughout the years, but I don't know much about the third and fourth line, the 5-6 D men. But when you look at the top end, the first and second line, the top 4D, they're solid. They're very, very solid. They can match that up against anybody in the league. So they'll be there. I was just playing around, you guys, when I said they were a lottery. I was just motivated, you know, and they heard it and they responded. So good for them.
That's right. Should we do some quick hits and get out of here?
Yeah, I think that sounds nice.
Okay. I saw this stat this morning. I think Dreger tweeted it out, but he said the top blocks among everyone in the league is defenseman Chris Tanev with 116. The top block among forward is his brother, Brandon Tanev, with 70. I thought that was pretty neat. A couple of warriors there. Cool little stat.
The thing with block shots, it's a very interesting stat because it means, A, you're in your own zone and you don't have the puck and teams are trying to actively score on you. So is it a good stat? Yeah, it's nice to block shots, but it's also kind of a double-edged sword where it's like teams are getting a lot of pucks on net when you're on the ice. And those two guys are good players. Don't get me wrong. And a lot of it's on the PK and you're in those situations. So I just think it's an interesting stat where, okay, yeah, this guy blocks a ton of shots. He's in his own zone a lot, isn't he? So.
Yeah, fair enough. You know, and the other thing I want to mention, Lane Hutson now leads all rookies with scoring. He has 30 points. He passed Celebrini, who missed some time. Celebrini should be the point per game average. And then Mishkov has slowed down just a bit, not a knock against him. He's a rookie. He's playing really well. Does Lane Hudson, as a defenseman, leading all rookies in scoring, automatically vault him to the top of the Calder favorite in your list right now?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Are you kidding me? He's got 10 more assists than the next closest guy at Michkov. And he's playing fantastic hockey. He was snake bit in the first half of the year for goals, but he's starting to find his footing. Tim, he's fantastic. He is in my bold prediction. Like he will win the Calder. This guy's terrific. Absolutely terrific. Have you watched him lately?
Yeah. He took over the game the other night.
Yeah.
He's 3 points in the third.
Electric. And he's getting rid of the turnovers. He's gambling, but maybe not as much as he used to the first 20, 30 games of the season when he was really reckless at the blue line and getting caught a little bit too often. So he's playing fantastic hockey. This guy is going to win the Calder. And that's saying a lot because Pellegrini, he's a hell of a player. He is a hell of a player the San Jose Sharks have fallen into. This guy, he's the real deal. People were all excited about Connor Bedard, rightfully so. And Bedard's a hell of a player too. But don't look now. This Celebrini kid might be a little bit better. He's playing fantastic.
Celebrini.
I'm celebrating it too. Like he's playing great, great, great hockey. Do you see Jeremy Roenick getting hot water? His comments about Connor Bedard. He was at the Winter Classic. They had it the baseball, Wrigley Field, I think. And I guess Bedard didn't go and fist bump Denny Savard, Jeremy Roenick, and all the Blackhawks alum. And Roenick said something like, this kid doesn't get it. There's got to be respect in the game. And that's one player. He didn't come up and, you know, tap us, me and Chris Chelios and Savvy. You know, that's just not classy of Connor Bedard. It's like, come on, Roenick, you big jerk. Like, I don't know. I just think he's got a podcast now with Tim Peel, the referee.
Yeah.
The controversial ref. I just think he's doing it to get some publicity. But I could think, leave him alone. Bedard's a superstar. The guy's a stud. And you're out there throwing stones and you're a Chicago Blackhawks like legend. Instead of throwing stones, why don't you just pull him aside or like build him up a little bit? That stuff bothers me. Like, shut your mouth, Roenick. And I like Jeremy. Great guy. But I just think he's trying to stir up trouble here. I don't get it. Two really good players. I think those two are going to go back and forth for years to come. Much like Matthews and McDavid. It's going to be Celebrini and
Celebrini and Bedard. Yeah.
Celebrini and Bedard.
I think that's a good comparison. Matthews, McDavid, and Crosby, Ovechkin. And there's always two, right?
Batman and Robin.
That's right. John and Tim.
John and Tim. Oh my gosh, we're probably best friends.
Tim with a high note there.
Tim, high note. All right, everybody. Dan, high note. Damn it. Oh, I hate when I do that. All right. Anything else, Tim?
No. I think we're good.
All right, well, have a good night. I got to go figure out my wood situation here. I'm guys delivering wood for me today, and he's finally calling me. He's like, hey, it's Nick. Call me when you can. I'm like, all right, Nick, sounds good. He's one of those guys you meet on like Craigslist, and he won't like respond. He just says, I'm bringing the wood Wednesday and Thursday. I'm like, you don't even know where I live, man. can you call me so we can schedule this? So he's a little rough around the edges. So I got to figure that out. I'll let you know how it goes on Friday. But
yeah.
have a good couple days, everybody. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you then. Cheers.
What makes a good bet? At Virgin Bet, we think it's a simple bet, a responsible bet, a last-minute winner when you're down to 10 men kind of bet, with generous offers. A bet that puts sport first. Sound like your kind of bet? Then you're ready to get started. Sign up and get £20 in free bets when you bet £10 on sports. Virgin Bet, a good bet.
New members, min bet settled in first 14 days, 1.5 minimum odds. Free bets valid 7 days on sports. T's and C's and exclusions apply. Bet responsibly. 18+, gamblerware.org.